Today we're going to do some things different. We're going to bring the message forward first, because today's message is on Thanksgiving. And when I say just Thanksgiving, it's not about next week, about the turkey and the ham and the roast beef and all the gravy and all that stuff. It's not about that, but it's about giving thanks to God for everything that he's done for us. If we would really just sit back and take a look how God has blessed us, how God has seen us through the tough times when we didn't think there was no way we were going to get through them. You know, there was no way. Man would say, I can't help you. Or the doctor would say, there's nothing we can do for you. And it's things like that, that when we come and know that God healed you of that sickness, that bondage, maybe it was drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, that God delivered you by his mighty hand. Amen. And it's thinking of the good things that he's done, that he's redeemed us and he's brought us back. We're adopted children of God. Amen. We are his children. We're kings and priests. We're sons and daughters. And so this is what I'm the message about this day is about giving God thanksgiving, giving thanksgiving to God for all that he's done. The Bible says that we're come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I know firsthand, saints, that when I was young in the things of God, and sometimes I get that way too, I used to just barge in on God. I said, Lord, I need this and I need that. You know, I need help. I need this. I need that. Instead of coming in properly and worshiping him and giving him thanks for all that he is and what he's done for me. You know, I remember in the book of, what's her name? Not Ruth, who's the other? Esther, thank you. Esther, oh my gosh. When she went before the king, you know, there was an order. The king had to invite you. The king had to open the door for you. Well, now, because what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have that open door where we can come to him. But there's still a protocol. There's still a right way, a reverential way to come in. Because in the days of Ruth, if you just came in on the king, you were gone. Amen? You were gone. So we learn from that, saints. I'm still learning, because sometimes I get something crazy's happening in my life, and I'll just barge in, and then the Lord says to give me thanks, to give me praise. And then my inner man, he calms down. He calms down and he says, okay. And then I come and I say, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for all that you are and you've done for me. And I just want to worship you. I give you praise. You know, you find a quiet place and you do this, saints. And you just give him praise. And then that door's open where you can bring your request to God. And I know that he hears them, because prayers are answered. Things change. When there was turmoil, when there was chaos, there's peace, there's joy. There was no need for me to get all frustrated and ruffled up. And so that's what Thanksgiving is. Not about just the turkey again. And then, as I was preparing, the Lord brought to my attention Christmas. Christmas. It's all about a child is born, a Savior, who brought us back, who redeemed us, who healed our relationship. Not just healing sicknesses and diseases and things going on in our minds, but our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That is the worst, to be separated from God. And with Jesus' great sacrifice, what he did for us on the cross, he restored that relationship. And it cannot be broken. And then the third thing was New Year's. That's what the Lord was showing me, New Year's. That although old things have passed away, what you did, counting this year, in 2023, is in the past. You can't fix it. You can't change it. It's done. But we have a future with Christ. We have a future with God. And this is what the message was today. As we put them all together, it's not about food. It's not about getting gifts for Christmas or giving or all the hassle, fighting the crowds, Black Fridays, you know, pushing your way through the crowds, you know. I don't do that. I usually wait till the last day. I give up. But it's not about that. And then New Year's, it's not about going to parties and you know, the world, they get drunk. I was in the world. We were all in the world. I don't know what you did, but when I was in the world, I'd go out and get drunk. But thank God he delivered me from that. And I know now that he has plans for me. He has plans for you. Each one of you, when you came to Christ, he says, I have plans and I have a purpose for you. And that purpose and plan is to share the kingdom of God to the world, to share your testimonies. Your testimonies are very powerful because there's somebody that maybe you don't know yet, or maybe you know, or a brother or sister in Christ, and they're going through something. They said, there's no way I can get through this. There's no help. Nobody wants to help me. Kind of like the paralyzed man in the pool of Bethesda. He couldn't get in the pool fast enough because there was nobody there to help him. And everybody was climbing over him. But yet the Lord was right there and says, you want to be healed. You see, so saints, it's more about that. And that's why today's message, we're going to do it differently. Tonight, after the message, we're going to come and worship the Lord for who he is. Because our eyes are going to be open. The scales, the enemy, what the enemy used to put on us, I got to get this done. I got to go get this for this person. I got to go get that. And we're running to and fro. I got to go to the store and buy turkey and all this stuff. All that's gone because now we're focused on the true meaning of why we worship God and give him thanks. Amen. So after the message, we're going to come and worship him. And there'll be an opportunity. The Lord was showing me before I was preparing this message that there's going to be an opportunity. And I'll let you know when you can come up. And if you're going, and this applies to you on live stream. Saints, you're not out of it yourself. But those of you that if you're going through something, you're going through trauma, you're going through difficulties, finances, bondages, burdens. The doctor says you have this. This is the place that the Lord is going to set up for you to come and receive from him. To receive from God himself because he's here. The Bible says that when two or three are gathered together in his name, that he's here in the midst. And when we worship him, saints, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his children, his people. You know, have you thought about it? That when the presence of the Lord is here, all your cares, all your burdens are gone. When you focus on his name, his attributes, what he does, and how he's helped you, that all those cares have gone away. And our focus, our attention is on worshiping him for who he is. You know, in heaven, when we get to heaven, there's going to be constant worship 24 hours a day around his throne. So we better get used to it. You better tune your voices in, get your tongue loose. You know, start singing from here, you know, but get in there. And it's not about anybody else. It's about your relationship with God, what he's done for you. We got to take our eyes up on the worshipers, the music. You know, you go to conferences and I get it. They're anointed men and women of God. And they bring the presence of God down. They worship him. They're bouncing and jumping and praising him. And all the people are jumping and all this. But is our focus on the music, the worship? Because you get excited. You get into that. Or are we really worshiping for who he is? I'm not discounting the worship. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you can play music and the music will just get you in. But it's worshiping him. Worshiping him. And that place, the Lord will have a place for you. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's fullness of joy. The enemy flees. All our sin is forgiven. If there's sin, if the Lord's convicting you of sin, then come up. You don't have to tell everybody. Nobody. It's between you and God. And you come up and you ask him to forgive him. Because I can share with you one thing. At sin, it opens the door for sicknesses. Yes. And it opens the door for diseases. It opens the door for hard hearts, unforgiveness, rebellion, disobedience. When the enemy, when Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't just sin and death, but everything evil in between sin and death came in. And so if there's something going on with you and you need to ask God to forgive you, then come on up. It's between you and God the Father. Did you know that when you bring your tithes and offerings before the Lord, and the Bible says, Jesus, if you have aught against the brother, he says to leave him there. He says, if you have aught against a brother, unforgiveness, you have something against him. He says, don't bring him up because he won't accept them. Because you have unforgiveness in your heart. So God says, leave them there. And then go and get the, what is it? I forget how he says it. But he says just to restore that relationship back again. To get your hearts right. And once our hearts are right and we forgive them and they forgive us, then we can come and bring our tithes and offerings before the Lord and he will receive them with joy and gladness. And it doesn't matter, saints, if those that if they don't repent, if they won't accept your apology, you apologize to them. You try to set things in order. And that's all God wants us to do. So sometimes, saints, because of the unforgiveness in our hearts, God does not accept them. And we're not receiving the blessings that God has for you. It's like the windows are shut. I give my tithes to God, but I don't see no breakthrough. I don't see no harvest. Because if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, the Lord says that he shuts the heavens like brass. I think it's brass or bronze. He shuts them. And then he makes the ground like iron. So there's no rain to moisture, to wet the ground so the seed can grow. What you plant on iron, it ain't going to grow. So again, this will be an opportunity. I'm sharing with you. It'll be an opportunity for you to come and give God praise. Amen. And then for the new year, praise the Lord. We got something going on for new year. I don't know what it's going to be. Amen. Only God knows. He might come right then. We don't know. But our hearts will be ready for him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. This message, saints, is not for you only, but for me as well. Because I got excited right there. I just started taking off already. I didn't even look at my messages. We don't know how this service is going to go, saints. But I want to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And you can just look at the screen up there. And it says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Can you imagine this? This is all the part of the theme of who God is. His greatness. His majesty. His power and dominion. From the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Was just a word. And at the very end, where we have the victory. But you notice one thing, what the Lord was showing me is that each one of us, you hearing me here, and those on live stream, that you are an epistle of God. You know what? From the beginning of time to when the end of ages come, There's so many peoples that the life of Jesus Christ touched. And the testimonies that what they went through, what God did for them. All the testimonies in the world, they couldn't cover, the world couldn't contain it all. Your testimonies, saints, are very powerful to the next generation, to your family, to your friends, even your boss. Amen. He's a man or a woman just like us. They need a savior. But that's why when we come, we got to understand how great God is. That all the books couldn't contain, the world couldn't contain all the books that what Jesus' life touched. Amen? Amen. I just want to get that going here. So let's turn to Psalm 22, verse 3 and 5. Now we're going to get into why we praise him. We understand who he is. He's God. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Each one of us were created. He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when the enemy says, you're this or you're that or you'll never amount to anything, you do not have to receive that report. You just say, I don't receive that report. If the doctor says, well, you have this curse, it's, and it's something generational, you don't have to receive that because God created you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't make any mistakes. Amen. He didn't make any mistakes when he made man and woman. He said, you're a man and you're a woman. God doesn't make mistakes. He's not confused. He's a loving God and Father. Amen. In Psalm 22, it says, but you are, verses 3 through 5. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and we're not ashamed. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the first verse. But you are holy. He's pure. That's why we don't go in and barge in on God, because he's holy. Amen. There's no spot, no blemish in him. When we read the Bible, he's talking to you as a son and a daughter. It's a one-on-one relationship. That's why it's so important for the body of Christ to pick up their Bibles, shake the dust off, and start reading. Because God the Father, your Father, my Father, Abba, has made promises to you. And if you don't read them, the devil's not going to tell you. He says, you're holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. When we come together and worship him corporately, you can worship him by yourself, or you can come, and we're going to give you the opportunity to come and worship him unashamed, to come and worship him for who he is, that he's there. He's here in our presence. Do you understand when the presence of God is here, he's able to heal? Because he's our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. When he's here and you come here, he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's come here to meet your needs. He's Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. That's why it's important, saints, to get to know him, his character, his attributes, who he is. So when we come to him corporately, or when you're home by yourself and you need help, church isn't here on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday or whatever day, you can come to him in your own time and seek his face. He doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells here in us. Let me see the second verse. So when you're worshiping people, when you're worshiping saints, and say there's people beside you and they don't sing. They just sit there with their hands folded. Or, I don't feel like getting up. I'm hurting. I'm sore. I'm angry. Did you know that your worship brings the presence of God and they could be healed right there? They could be delivered because of your worship, because your obedience, because your faithfulness. You don't care about how you sound, but you're coming here to worship him and they're being blessed. They're being blessed because of your obedience and your love for God. Amen? Let me see verse 2. Our fathers trusted in you. The word, our fathers, the generation before, that's why testimonies are so important. Because we're supposed to share these testimonies with our children and our grandchildren. We should tell them at the dinner table or Thanksgiving when all the turkey's there and all the fixings. And man, I'm getting myself hungry already. We'll cook turkey tomorrow. Well, we're supposed to share our testimonies with our children. It doesn't matter their age. It doesn't matter their age. My son is in his 40s now, and I still share the goodness of God with him so he could grasp hold of it, and he can trust God just like I trust God. The word trust means believe, that we believe in God. They trusted, and you delivered them. Isn't that powerful to hear that God delivers them? No matter what you're going through. You see, we run to man too often. We run to man too quickly. But God wants us to run to him. And he delivers you. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Is that the last verse there? They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and we're not ashamed. You know, saints, we don't have to cry anymore. We don't have to cry. We don't have to beg anymore because we're children of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Anywhere in the Bible, do you see Jesus crying to God for his unfaithfulness? Do we ever hear that in the Bible? No. He came to the Father and he worshiped him, he praised him because he's the Son of Man. And he brought his request to God. He made them known. And then when he left, he was assured that God the Father heard him. Amen. And that things were already set in order. That's why Jesus was able to do the things he was able to do, because he spent time with the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Psalms 95, verse 1 through 7. This is why we give thanksgiving to God. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Next verse. Oh, I guess me. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he's our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Amen. Let's go back to the verse 4. Thank you, Jacob. I love Jacob. He's doing a good job up there. He says, for he is our God. Saints, there is no other God in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth. Our God is the true and living God. What happened to Scripture? He's our God. And we are the people of his pasture. You know, the earth is his. All our provision is here. It's his pasture. Like sheep, like good sheep, we have to be led. We have to tune in our ears, saints. I have to tune in my ears to hear his voice, to hear his leading, his guidance, his counsel. Because his counsel is sure and good. We are his people. We are the people of his pasture. And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear, now go back to the first verse. Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. This is a call for all of us saints. It's not just Pastor Fred, Pastor Annette, or the ministry team. Each one of us, God is calling you by name to come and let us sing to the Lord. Each one of us have something to sing about, something to shout about what he's done for us. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. It's to come in with singing, joyfully. Amen. Don't be ashamed. I'll tell you what, I like it better when you all sing because I'm singing to God, but you can't hear me. Amen. Let's go to the next one. But this is a corporate worship. You know, you can worship God by yourself. By yourself. You know, one time I had a story. I seen my granddaughter. And she was outside, and she's just singing, just a beautiful tune. I don't know what it was, but she was just singing, humming. I don't know what it was. And I told my wife, come here, look at this. And this is a child that has no cares, no burdens, no worries, no fears. And she's just coming and just singing. And she's, I really believe she's singing to the Lord. How much more we, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Abba, he watches over us. And he protects you. He provides for us. He heals us. He comforts us. He comforts us when we're hurt, when people say bad things. And we can come and just worship him. You can do this privately. But right here he says, come, let us. Amen. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. That's the proper way, saints. Come to be before his presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Amen. You know, you can create your own psalms. That's what David did. His life experiences, how God delivered him, his problems, his cares. You can sing these songs to God. God hears you. He likes creative songs. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I was reading Psalm 95, 1 through 7, and it reminded me of the lepers. Turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, I believe, yeah. And this is the story of the 10 lepers. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. How many of us have we, because of our sin, we're separated from God, we're far off. That's what leprosy is. Leprosy was another name for sin. And because they were in sin, they were expelled. They couldn't come into the crowd. They couldn't have contact with the people. They were separated. And they cried out to God, have mercy on us. And they lifted up their voices. Okay, stay right there. That's good. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. You know, this is what the Lord says, that when you come and you ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of all your sins, you're clean. You're cleansed. The enemy loves to bring up your past of what you did. But Jesus says, you're clean. Your sins are forgiven you. I don't remember your sins. Well, Lord, how about when I did this? What? Well, Lord, you know, when I did this, you were there, and when? You see, because he doesn't remember them. But the enemy, he wants to bring them back up. He wants to bring them to our mind. And we got to learn to tune him out and then tune in the voice of the Holy One, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. Amen. They were cleansed. Next verse. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritan, he fell at Jesus' feet. He worshiped him. He worshiped. That's what it is to fall at the feet of the Savior, to worship, to ask for forgiveness. The Bible says, kiss the Lord's feet, lest he be angry with you. It's humbling yourself before him. God hates a proud heart. Come before his presence and humble yourself before him. Amen. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This man, the 9 lepers, they received their healing. Jesus had compassion on them. And they were Jews, children of God. But this one man was a Samaritan, a Gentile, Samaritan, right? And that they were cleansed, the 9, but not one of them came back and gave God thanks for what he did for them. They were lepers. They were cast away. It was a death sentence. And they received their healing, and that's all they got, was their healing. But right here he says, and he said to him, the Samaritan, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Other translations say, your faith has made you well. Well means saved. This man, because he humbled himself before God, he declared before God that you are my Lord. He bowed before God, and he says, you are Lord. The confession of faith. This man received more than just healing, more than salvation. He received everything that God had for him. And this is what I was sharing with you about that story. And what was that psalm I was reading? Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Go back to Psalm 95, 1 through 7, please. It's come and let us sing joy. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. You know, the Lord's healed you. He's redeemed us. He has great things for us. And like the Jews, they just received their healing. But this Samaritan came back and he worshiped him for what he did. And he healed him. Saints, this is where the place where we need to come back. This is all part of a giving thanks to God, giving him praise and thanksgiving. Amen? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That was thanksgiving next week or forever. Amen? But now we're talking about Christmas. Christmas is more than just giving gifts, running to and fro and buying gifts and receiving gifts, getting in debt. You know, that's the enemy, saints. You know, because sometimes we overextend ourselves, and that's not God's plan, that we get in debt and you're paying whatever it takes, a year, 2 years, to pay off that debt, but you still got debt from last Christmas. And then you're in a bondage, and then you're in deep debt that all you can do is cry out to God for help. And you know he will help you. Many a times, the stories I could tell you where I got ahead of God. But he delivered us. He redeemed us. Amen? But he says, now we're talking about December, next month. This old message is about giving thanks to God, focusing our attention back to why we come and worship. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you to look right there. The last part, it says, and his name will be called. This saints, this is God's attributes. This is his character. He's wonderful. I haven't seen him. I don't know what he looks like. I'd love to. He's wonderful. Those are words, but I can't express them any greater than he's wonderful. He's counselor. When I'm in trouble, when I need direction and I need guidance, and I need to know the way to go with the Lord. If I'm doing something wrong, I open up his word and he reveals to me. He's my counselor. He's my private counselor. I don't have to pay money. I have peace of mind and money in my wallet. He's the mighty God. Mighty in power and in strength. Able to defeat any enemy, any devil that would come against you. He's the mighty God and he's never lost a battle. He's the everlasting Father. He doesn't die. He's here. He's with us continually. And he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. This is who he is. This, saints, is his character. And that's just touching a little bit. As you read through the Word of God, he'll reveal himself, who he is to you. What you need there. You need Jehovah Rapha. He's that too. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's that. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, he's that. And there's so much more. Amen? This, saints, is why we worship God. We got to get our eyes off Christmas, all the hustle and bustle, what the world wants us to do. They want us to fall into their trap, their snare, get in debt, forget about God, forget about worshiping him. When you're in debt, you can't worship God because you're fearful, you're afraid of tomorrow. That's why a lot of people, they can't give their tithes, their offerings to God, because they're in debt. And we'll get into that later. But I'm here today to tell you as a witness that God is faithful with giving your tithes and offerings. He has not let me and my household down. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah for that. I have something to shout about. God the Father, my Father, he could have sent anything down. He could have just forgiven us our sins. But there had to be a price for sin, the shedding of blood. And he didn't give us, he didn't just say, well, just do the goats and the cows. Those days are gone. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Once and for all, it was given. He could have sent angels to deliver you, but he didn't do that. He gave his very best. In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world. When I was in the world, I didn't think anybody would love me, not a righteous God. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his very best. He gave 100%. He didn't hold anything back. He gave his very best. That whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God loves us so much. He wants his family. He wants a relationship. He's come to heal, not just physical bodies, but he's coming to heal our relationship with him, which is more important. That we would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. This is what Christmas is about, saints. It's about salvation, about our relationship, healing our relationship back with God the Father, where we can turn to him and bring all our requests to him. Saints, let's not get distracted from the seasons, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we're going into New Year's. In Jeremiah 29:11, Jacob, you're doing a good job. Thumbs up. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's look at that. God knows thoughts for you. He knows the thoughts. His plans for each one of us are perfect. We need to just submit ourselves and give ourselves to God. And that's the battle, saints. This is the battle because this flesh, this Pastor Fred, amen, wants to do things his way sometimes. And they don't work. And so as I study God's word and humble myself and ask him to forgive me, he's doing a work, he's doing a cleansing in me. He's doing the same thing in each one of us if we surrender our life, our will, our all to him. This is the battle. You're already declared righteous, but each one of us, we got issues. And God wants to remove them. We just got to surrender them to him. He's not going to blab it all over the universe and said, you did this and you did that. And he's not that kind of God. So when you come up here tonight and worship him, remember today that he's ministering to each one of you one-on-one. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. He's telling you who he is. He's Lord over all. He's not an idol. You know, an idol, they have eyes. They're created by man's hands. They create the eyes in them, the nose, fingers, hands, feet. But they can't see you. They can't hear you. You have to carry them. I don't want to serve a God like that where I got to carry. I need to be carried. I need to give my burden on him. Amen? For he's the Lord. There's many gods, saints, but they're all false. There's only one true God. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Okay, you need to think about that. Thoughts of peace. He doesn't come to bring harm. He doesn't come to cause you to be fearful of him where you will not come and speak to him, to come to him. We fear the Lord, who he is, but he doesn't want us to be so fearful that we won't come to him. That's not the kind of fear he's talking about. He's the God of peace. Even now, I just feel the presence of God here, the peace of God. He's here. Thoughts of peace and not evil. He doesn't want to do any harm to you. You know, the Bible says that the Lord rejoices in the prosperity of his children. Can you imagine that? The Lord, he wants to see his children prosper. That's for each one of you. Married couples, for your marriage, but also individually, for you and you, brother, for my wife and myself, pastors, you know, Miriam and Pastor Renato, the married ones, corporately, he has blessings for you. But individually, he has personal blessings for each one of you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's why I was sharing with you January 1st, when everybody's partying out there in the cold and the rain and the snow and the wind and all that stuff, and they're getting drunk and getting in accidents and craziness is just happening. They're going to wake up with a hangover, but you're going to wake up with a new beginning, knowing that whatever happened in the past in 23 is gone. It's gone. God doesn't remember it, and he doesn't want you to remember it. Don't let the enemy bring it up. Just don't get thee behind me, Satan. To give you a future and a hope. You know what our hope is? It's to see all of us here, all my brothers and sisters here, my family, to be with us in heaven and with the Lord, and your family, and your families and your families and your aunts and your uncles. That's our hope, to be with him forever. Amen? Amen.